The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
The shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network. Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Right now, it's trouble in front of the net. They score! The Predators come back and poke one in. Kiefer Bellows on a broken play in front of the net, able to slip one past Georgiev on a failed dump-in play where the Sharks just unable to gather control of the puck. As it popped back out, Georgiev left it off, but it was stolen away by Puel's Philip Forsberg, and he sends in front to Kiefer Bellows to make it 3-2 Nashville.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing as a pro at memory, whether it's going good or it's going bad, you got to try to be as even-keeled and try to stay steady. If you go way up and way down, that's when you can get in trouble. This one's going to sting tonight for sure. I think it's about waking up in the morning, trying to reset, and everyone's got their own way of doing that. But and coming to the rink tomorrow and forget about it.
All right, what's happening, everybody? How are we doing? We are waking up on a Wednesday morning. The Sharks once again in a tight, tight battle, falling by, you guessed it, a goal to the Nashville Predators in what was yet another entertaining game between these two sides. The Sharks were down 2-0 entering the third period. They came back with a flurry to get themselves in this game, scoring goals 14 seconds apart from Patrick Giles and Colin Graf. You had a very nice performance from Georgiev, except for the third goal they let in, which was a bit of a misplay behind the net. The Sharks, they are in very many ways a highly competitive, entertaining hockey team, but at the same time, their own worst enemy, as they committed many trips to the box last night, 5 times overall, and they gave up 2 power play goals, which put them at a 2-0 deficit until the third period. They only had 2 trips to their own on the power play, and they didn't score on either of those, and they just did not take care of the little things. Now, I think if you look big picture, you're still happy with the San Jose Sharks in the sense that they're competing game in, game out. One of the things we heard from Ryan Morosovsky in the last couple of days was about telling guys that this was an opportunity for them to prove that they want to be part of the future and they want to be part of the solution here, that they want to show they can be part of something going forward. And I think that if you look at the guys who performed pretty well last night, Colin Graf, he had a goal. Patrick Giles, he's getting his first few opportunities with San Jose and he gets a goal. You had Will Smith, he's a big part of that second goal. And again, these are the young players that the team is building around. It's Colin Graf, it's Will Smith, it's Macklin Celebrini, it's Shakir Mukhmudulin, who I felt once again had another pretty solid game. I think that he's learning more about how to play at the NHL level. He has a level of physicality that is increasing game after game, which I appreciate, and I think it's just a matter of learning. And it's something that we talk about for all these guys as they continue to learn, is that you just look at how good they are game in, game out, and what they were a couple of weeks ago, and what they were a couple of weeks before that. I think if you look at Will Smith in particular, you see the massive amount of growth that he's had over the course of the season. You see Colin Graf, you know, obviously he's a big part of what the Sharks are doing. He's out there killing penalties. He's out there battling along the boards. He got his second goal last night. He's been a consistent contributor. I think Colin Graf is showing what he is capable of at a very, very early level. And so these are the things that you're looking for from these young San Jose Sharks. You're looking for these guys to just give you, you know, the first beginnings of what they can be. For these rookie players, for these guys that are young in their career, you don't know what they're going to be in 3, 4, 5 years. You don't know what they're going to be down the line, but you are getting a glimpse. You are getting an idea of what they can become. And then for the new players like a Giles, who we don't know anything about, he's maximizing his opportunity. And these are the things that we have to keep on coming back to. Are these guys making the most of their opportunity? And right now, the short answer is yes. Now, you look across the board and you can critique everyone. I'm not saying these guys deserve absolution and they're without sin. They're all making mistakes. They're all not living up to the moment in the sense that they're not winning nearly enough hockey games. That should be fairly obvious to all of us. But in the sense that we are looking and seeing growth, we are watching them develop, we're seeing them become better players. That's something that we, you know, wanted to see from the Sharks this year. That was, I won't say priority number one, because priority number one should always be winning hockey, but I think that the biggest aspect of what the Sharks are trying to do for their long-term vision is develop these players, and we are watching them develop. I mean, Will Smith is a consistent game-to-game contributor. Macklin Celebrini is a game-to-game contributor. These guys are making an impact on every single game in which they play. You know, Colin Graf more and more often is getting in on the score sheet, is looking more and more comfortable, and I think we are watching the game slow down for him last night. The way he scored that goal last night, after getting the feed, delaying just a moment to watch things set up, that's a level of maturity that he did not have a couple of weeks ago. You know, Colin Graf is making the most of this opportunity, and I think that's something that we need to be appreciative of and watch him, you know, turn into this player that he can be for the future. And I think that overall, the Sharks deserve some level of commendation about giving themselves a chance in every game that they play. I mean, that's something that I know is frustrating in the sense that, yes, it's another one-goal loss. It's another opportunity where they just made mistakes at critical moments and couldn't get over the hump. Well, that's what young, inexperienced teams do. They make the critical mistake. They make the bad play at the wrong time and end up on the wrong end of the result when all is said and done. We talk oftentimes about the breaks not going the Sharks' way. Well, I will say that when you are a better, more talented team, the breaks tend to go your way. And the Sharks did not get those breaks last night, nor have they gotten them the majority of the season, because they have not been the better of the two teams out there on the ice when all is said and done. Now, you have individual players like Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith and Tyler Toffoli who are catching breaks, but that is because they are at a very, very high level of talent. I think the Sharks are developing that talent. And I mean, not Tyler Toffoli, because he's been out there, you know, for a long, successful career, but these are the more talented players on the team. Lo and behold, they're catching the breaks. They're making the most of their opportunities. That's why they've been high-level players over the course of their career in the sense of a Tyler Toffoli, or why they were drafted so high, and you look at Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith. But one of the things that Alan Hoshida of NBC pointed out last night, and I thought this was a really good insight on his behalf, is he talked about if you had doubt in Ryan Warsofsky, then maybe you should think about the fact that it doesn't matter who's out there on the ice for the Sharks right now, whether it's more talent, whether it's less talent, the guys are playing hard. He's putting them in a position where they can have a chance game in, game out. And I know that you can critique and you can say, well, they're not winning the games, Ted, but again, the talent and experience disparity in almost every single game that they're entering is allowing for San Jose to be the worst of the two teams, and that's the main impediment to them having success. I think at the end of the day, it comes down to the horses. It comes down to the guys out there on the ice. And the Sharks have a lot of young talent, and they have a lot of guys who are journeyman NHL players who are incredible hockey players in their own right. But the collection of talent altogether is simply not enough for them to compete to win these games with consistency, is the best way of putting it. They can win a game here and there, but the consistency is lacking, and that is not a lie. I mean, you look at what we've seen all throughout the year. The Sharks are lately getting more shots off and, you know, over the course of the game. But, you know, over the course of the year, there were games where they did not get enough shots off, where the offense hasn't been there, where they've not given the, you know, support overall. And last night was another example of that. They didn't score their first goal until the third period. And yes, if you're a good hockey team in the NHL, if you've only given up two goals entering the third period at home, that's a quote unquote winnable game, in my opinion. But the Sharks are not at a position yet in their overall franchise growth where, as this individual team is, that they can just win every close game. They're not there yet. Again, if we go a year from now and they can get half of the close losses they've had, which is 28 or 29 now, and put those on the board for points, that's another, you know, roughly 30 points on the year. That would change the entire dynamic of this season. At the very worst, they would be in the conversation for a wild card spot. That's not where they are right now. But if we look at what happens in the offseason, if you add more talent, if you add more experience, if you add more ability, of which Mike Grier has the opportunity to do, then the Sharks can get things trending in the right direction, in my opinion, fairly quickly. And I know that sounds like a far-off state of reality right now, and I agree. That's not till next October. It's March 12th right now, and the Sharks have to finish out this season, and they have a lot to play for that isn't just pride. Guys are trying to prove themselves that they want to be a part of this for the future. Macklin Celebrini is trying to show himself and the rest of the league that, hey, I'm a star player. You want to come play with us in San Jose because something is building here. Same thing with Will Smith. You know, right? These guys are showing that they are capable NHL players, and the rest of the league should be taking note and wanting to come play with them. But the effort is there, night in, night out, regardless of the opposition, regardless of who's out there on the ice, the effort is there, and that's what I am most pleased with out of this year from Ryan Warsofsky, because when he was hired, he said that they were going to fight. You know, day one of training camp, he said they were never going to quit. They were going to fight to the end in every single game, and they gave themselves a chance in every single game, it seems. I mean, yes, there have been a couple of blowouts this year, but the overwhelming majority of games this year has been the San Jose Sharks fighting to give themselves a chance, fighting to be in games, fighting to get points, fighting to the very finish. I mean, you think about the amount of games this year we have had where they have had the extra attack, or where they've been down by a goal, where they've had a chance late. I'll take that any day of the week or over what we had, you know, last year when they were routinely getting blown out. And I know that the standard is not to not get blown out. That's obvious. But I also think that that's indicative of the team improving, of Ryan Warsofsky saying the right things, of that coaching staff putting together the right plans, and them continuing to take strides for where they want to go as a team. And I don't think those things should be discounted. I think that is part of what needs to happen for this team before they can take that next step. And part of this is the rough part of what we see with this rebuild right now. It's not going to happen overnight. I know everyone wants to see the Sharks just turn a corner very, very suddenly to turn into a contending team, but there are still going to be bumps in the road for all these young players, for development, for, you know, injuries that come out of nowhere, for all sorts of things that happen in San Jose. This is just the start. And we see glimpses. You know, there is light at the end of the tunnel for the first time in a long time with the play of these young players, but it still takes time. It still takes time for these guys to develop. It still takes time for them to turn into consistent players where they are impacting the game every night. And I know that, you know, you're getting points more often than not from Celebrini and Will Smith, but at the same time, you need to see them consistently perform, consistently impact the game. You know, we talk about game breakers, guys who change games. Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith are not quite there yet. They are getting points. They are getting goals. They are getting assists. But we need to get to the point where they are changing games themselves, where one of them scores two goals in a real hurry to take the Sharks from a 2-1 deficit to put them up 3-2, and that momentum carries the Sharks to a win. That's not where they are consistently as of yet. We've seen them have individual performances, which have been really fun. Not going to deny that in the slightest. But you need to see them change games. Game changers, game breakers. We knew that Patrick Marleau and Joe Thornton and Tomas Hertl and Joe Pavelski, these guys had performances earlier in their careers with San Jose where they would change games, where the overall game would just change from one shift to the next because those guys would get on the board and change the dynamic. The emotion on the ice would change. That's where we're not at with the Sharks right now. Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith, they're having great performances. They're doing great things. But again, it's more than just scoring, right? It's more than getting the assist. It's turning that assist, it's turning that goal into a win for San Jose. And in a couple of years, I would like to think that if the Sharks score two goals 14 seconds apart, that type of a bang, bang jab at your opponent, that's setting them up for a knockout blow. That's setting them up to be, you know, just absolutely hammered. If you score that quickly, the other team should be reeling and you need to get that third goal shortly thereafter in another minute. We've seen it happen to the Sharks this year where they've given up three goals in 90 seconds or, you know, three goals, 2.5, 3 minutes apart. That's what the Sharks need to do going forward. They're not there yet. And again, we use that phrase, not there yet, not there yet. It takes time. I mean, all of these teams in the NHL that are trying to build their way back, it probably takes a year longer than everyone expected. You know, we've watched teams like Anaheim, you know, come on strong this year. We've watched teams like the Red Wings, you know, finally starting to pull themselves out of this long, long rebuild. But as we look at it right now, you know, Detroit is still 4 points out of the final wild card. Obviously, there's a lot of hockey left to play, but, you know, they're giving themselves a chance at the very least. Like last year, they started off hot and then faded. This year, they're still in that chase. And right now, the Anaheim Ducks, 63 points. They're 7 points back of Calgary, but they're no longer a part of that bottom three conversation. You know, Anaheim has 63 points. That's a long way off of where Chicago with 49 and San Jose with 43 is right now. That's a long, long way off. So these are the things that we're looking at in terms of these long-term rebuilds. You know, Ottawa is another case right now where they're at the top of the wild card, but it's taken them a long time. And then, you know, the Sabres are the Sabres right now. They're sitting at 56 points in the bottom of the Eastern Conference. But overall, it takes time. It takes time for all these teams. It's going to take time for the Sharks. But right now, you are seeing the glimpses of the future in San Jose. All right, let's get into some of these highlights from last night. Sharks, their own worst enemy. Too many trips to the box, giving up a power play goal in the second period to allow Nashville to take the 1-0 lead in this game.
Here come the Preds on the move. It's Svechkov to the Sharks line. Banks it to himself off the boards. Carries in, drops to Forsberg near side. He skates down into the corner, turns to his right, away from the checker, moves into the circle, and shoots and scores! What a world-class shot right there by Philip Forsberg. And it's 1-0 Nashville, and it's a power play goal for Forsberg, one that's going to make the highlight reels everywhere.
Philip Forsberg, assisted by Fedor Svechkov and Nick Blankenberg, makes it a 1-0 game at the 8:11 mark of the second period. And then who else but Steven Stamkos on a second power play goal makes it 2-0 Nashville.
Predators finally move to the Sharks' end, and they send it toward the goal. This is trouble in front of the goal, a big scramble for the play. It's chaos. It's back to Shea, feeds to the left. Here comes a shot. Score! Well, there's Steven Stamkos getting the puck in the midst of the chaos, getting it from Shea and banging it in. And it's 2-0 Nashville, both goals on the power play.
Sharks go into the third period down 2-0, but it didn't take long for them to get themselves back into this game. Patrick Giles, assisted by Carlos Grundstrom, have the deficit.
Now it's dumped in on Mukko Madulin's watch into the offensive zone. Back behind the goaltender, Yussi Saros. Loose puck, 2-0, Nashville on top. Work free, Grundstrom centers. The shot, score! Patrick Giles in front, getting the pass from Carl Grundstrom. And the fourth line comes up huge with 3:42 gone by in the third. Giles, his first goal as a Shark. It's San Jose trailing now 2-1.
So suddenly and almost on cue, because the Sharks are always going to put themselves in a position to get back into the game, it's a 2-1 game. And then 14 seconds later.
Here come the Sharks moving in. They shoot. They score. And it's Colin Graf in the slot. The Sharks move right back in. They set it up perfectly. And the pass comes right onto the tape of Colin Graf. And he ties the game 2-2.
So the Sharks fight their way back into this game. Suddenly it's 2-2. But this is something the Sharks have done all year long. As soon as they've gotten themselves into a tie game or taken the lead, they always concede. And just about 3 minutes after Colin Graf tied it at two, they concede another goal off a misplay near the net.
Right now it's trouble in front of the net. They score! The Predators come back and poke one in. Kiefer Bellows on a broken play in front of the net, able to slip one past Georgiev on a failed dump-in play where the Sharks just unable to gather control of the puck as it popped back out. Georgiev left it off, but it was stolen away by Puel's Philip Forsberg, and he sends in front to Kiefer Bellows to make it 3-2 Nashville.
And we talked about the Sharks being a team that's not quite ready to take advantage of a bang-bang, two goals in 14 seconds situation. Well, this is the other part of it. They're also not a team that can avoid giving up the goal or making the critical mistake when the game is demanding near perfection at that point. If you have a two-goal deficit, you've got to play near perfect hockey, and that miscue at your own net leads to a goal that puts you at a 3-2 deficit. The Sharks weren't done, and they kept on fighting to the very finish, but they were not able to find that late equalizer.
Yep, Celebrini's going to have to beat him on it. And he does. And here comes the shot by Eklund. Oh, it's blocked by Marchessault. Puck is wide. That basically saved the game for the Predators because Eklund had that thing targeted. But Marchessault with the block. The game is over. And the Predators win by the score of 3-2.
The fight to the finish is important, by the way. The fight all the way to the end is something that the Sharks are going to be able to point to later on in their timeline and say, we've been here before, we know how to keep ourselves in a game, we know how to fight back into a game. That's big for what the Sharks are trying to do in the long term. That said, it's painful in the interim. And after this game, you could see it in Colin Graf's face. You could see it, you know, from Ryan Warsawski. They're sick of the losing. We've heard that from Tyler Toffoli. We've heard that from William Eklund. These guys want to be a better team going forward. And that, to me, is the most important thing. Be so sick of the losing that you can't accept it as part of the narrative for too much longer. We remember what Tampa was before they turned into a contender. We remember what Colorado was before they went and turned their narrative around and turned into a true contender. It's part of what every team has to go through, but I also think it's part of that championship mentality. You have to be sick of the losing. Let's get some from Colin Graf after last night's game, who did not look very pleased when all was said and done.
Yeah, I think even going back to that last Islanders game, and we had a really good start. The shots were, 17-1 or something like that. Like, I think that, it's hard, but I would say the biggest thing is just trying to get traffic in front of the net. Like, Saros is really good, but he's a smaller goaltender, so we got to get in front of him and make it harder for him to save it.
Andy talked about moving on from yet another painful loss.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing as a pro at memory, whether it's going good or it's going bad, you got to try to be as even keeled and try to stay steady. If you go way up and way down, that's when you can get in trouble. This one's going to sting tonight for sure. I think it's about waking up in the morning, trying to reset, and everyone's got their own way of doing that. But and coming to the rink tomorrow and forget about it.
Yeah, they have to. They have to move on quickly and get ready for Chicago on Thursday night. And, you know, I always talk about them getting sick of the losing, and I think that's the aspect that they do remember. They don't focus on the mistakes. They don't dwell on the game. They don't really, you know, keep it in their mind about how angry they are about one specific game. But I think it's the overall mentality of thinking, this is not what we're going to be forever. This is not what we're going to be for our entire existence. We are going to be a better team. We are going to win these games. And I think that just the way the look that Graf had on his face last night, I think was the first time that I saw a little bit of not disgust, but just the sick of it aspect. You know, he's tired of it. And I think that, you know, you get these high level players like Will Smith and Colin Graf and Macklin Celebrini, who have been on the best teams throughout their youth development. They're not used to being a part of losing hockey. They're used to winning. And I think that's obviously why they've gotten to this point, because they have a winner's mentality. And I think it makes it that much harder for all these guys to stomach what they're currently a part of. All right, before we run out of time, I wanted to give you some of my interview with Max Miller from NHL.com, who covers the Sharks. We're just talking about our reactions to all things deadline. And I was asking him about the acquisition of Ostapchuk and comparing him to what they had previously in David Edstrom, who they ended up moving to Nashville in exchange for Yaroslav Askarov. But it seems like that's a skill set and a body type that they had been looking for. I also look at what they had in David Edstrom, that what they turned into Askarov. And I think they went after for Edstrom for very similar reasons with what they eventually, you know, moved on from him to get Askarov for understandable reasons. But I think that big type for a third center type body, I think that's what they were after. Do you think I'm crazy, or do you think that that was something they were already had their eyes on?
No, I agree with you. I think that's something they have their eyes on, right? Will Smith's on the wing right now, but I think they do see him as the center. But I think the success he's having on the wing and the way Mike Greer wants to set up his centerman, other than Macklin Celebrini, because he's in a different level, you know, I could see Will Smith playing wing more often. Mikael Granlund-style center winger. He can do both whenever you need it. But, you know, you look at another guy, Brandon Svoboda, who played fourth line for BU, played fourth line for Team USA at the World Juniors, right? If you want paper, you got Bisted, Ostapchuk, Smith, Celebrini, and Svoboda, that's too many centers. Someone's got to play wing. And if they view Ostapchuk as a big centerman, and I mean, Mike Greer in his availability referenced Winnipeg Jets' Adam Lowry. That's a great big defensive two-way center who can chip in when needed. And, you know, Zetterlund was a winger with speed, and Ostapchuk's a centerman who can play wing with speed, who can shoot. So I like the move. I definitely see that, you know, maybe getting, they want to be big down the middle and big on defense. Those are the two biggest things that Mike Greer has brought into this organization, is big down the middle and big defense. He wants to be in front of the net, protected at all costs.
You brought up the prospects that were there in the Sharks pool right now, and why they're, you know, by many regarded as being one of the top, you know, farm systems, for lack of a better term. But I think that one of the things that Mike Greer didn't point out in this most recent press conference, but what he said before, is that not every pick turns into a player A. And I also think that a lot of people probably need to wrap their heads around the fact that, much like we just saw the move of Tristan Robbins, not every prospect is going to be eventually wearing a teal sweater. Like, there's clearly more at work from the perspective of the Sharks front office and, you know, hockey ops. Like, I feel like we saw the beginnings of the plan of what they're doing, And I know prospects are excited. I get in on it. Like, I understand you see what a guy can do. You're excited, but you know, that doesn't mean that all these guys are going to eventually be developed into players. They could easily be, you know, moved, swapped, traded out for something else. And I think that's what Mike Greer has also specifically talked about, is keeping his options open.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, there's been plenty of players who have never played for the team that they're drafted for. I mean, you look at Chikwuemeka Okwuegbunam, right? He was drafted in the first round by the New Jersey Devils, traded here before he even played, you know, a full-time season in North America. I think he played a couple games in the NHL for, I think it's Utica at the time. But, you know, David Edstrom, we acquired him for half a year. He was drafted by Vegas, got him at the deadline for Tomas Hertl, flipped him in the summer for Yaroslav Askarov. And I mean, even Askarov, he was a top, you know, 15, top, what is he, 11th overall pick by Nashville, played three games for Nashville. Oh, he's with the Sharks. Like, as much as draft picks are assets, you know, trading a guy like Fabian Zetterlund or trading a guy like Chikwuemeka Okwuegbunam when he was acquired by the Sharks, that's effectively trading a drafted first round pick. You got a guy that you would have drafted if you were in that position. So if you go back in time, the way I like looking at it, and let's say you're at pick wherever Okwuegbunam was picked, and you got that guy and you picked him there, you effectively added a first round pick that you would have just drafted that player. You obviously like that player. So picks and players are assets. And like you said, not every player gets to the NHL after they're drafted. Tyler Toffoli said it best. I mean, when we had a conversation with him after the trade, you know, guys drafted in the second, third, fourth, fifth round don't always get to the NHL. And when they do, it's not in 4 or 5 years. They take time. And that's pretty much, you know, paraphrasing a little bit, but that's pretty much what Tyler Toffoli told us, right? Like, if you want to win now, you got to go make moves to win now. And if Mike Greer thinks this is a move to win now, then everybody's on board with it.
It's interesting because Mike Greer, and I can't remember if you asked it or Curtis, but somebody asked him about the question of being aggressive in this upcoming offseason and free agency and such, and he wouldn't classify it in those terms. But one thing he did say that I think we all noted is interesting is he said this is the last time, hopefully, that they are going to be sellers like this. And I think that's more indicative. And he also said that, you know, now we're starting to build. So while he did say we're not going to overpay or go out and get somebody just because we have money, I think that fans will probably end up being pretty intrigued by what happens in the offseason. I mean, they're what, $20 million under the cap floor right now? I mean, when the season ends, they're going to have to move up. They're going to have to acquire players one way or another.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing for me. You know, you're not going to be aggressive. You're not going to overpay, but like the biggest thing that I want to add on top is Mike Greer said, you know, he doesn't want to overpay and have buyer's remorse for too long of two term for a player. That doesn't mean he's not going to go out and sign somebody big for a long-term contract if he feels that it's not going to be like you're not going to sign a 29-year-old or a 30-year-old to an 8-year contract. I don't see that from him. I think if he signs somebody like a Tyler Toffoli, 4-year deal is what he got. You know, there's some young free agents out there. There's some, you know, mid-range free agents, but you know, there's still some younger UFAs out there. You never know what he's going to do. I think he's willing to commit. And the other thing that intrigued me is in that part of that question, I think you're right. Curtis did ask that question where he said he's going to start utilizing these picks. I mean, you've got two first round picks in this draft, two first round picks in next year's draft as well. To me, that sounds like they're going to make a trade either for a prospect, a top level prospect that's close to NHL ready that will get the opportunity to play in the NHL here, or somebody that is like, you know, it's a hard comparison, but Joe Thornton, who kind of just was starting to get his legs under him in Boston, and they gave up, you know, at the time, great assets to get him, and he won an MVP that season. I don't know if it's going to be the same level of impact, but like that type of trade where guy who may be high level pick and you need something and go get him, you have the assets to go get him. So I think he's going to be at, you know, the way he put it is active. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how much money he really is going to put into this offseason.
Again, that was Max Miller joining us here on the Sharks Audio Network. To hear more of that interview, check out the build-up before yesterday's game against Nashville to hear the entirety of that interview. But yeah, right now everybody's wondering what's going to happen with the Sharks in this offseason. They have to get to the salary floor. They have to bring in players. They have to bring in talent. They've got draft capital. They've got prospects. They've got options. And I've been talking about this for a while now. Mike Greer has been very, very good at giving himself as many options as possible, whether that's trades, whether that's draft capital, whether that's prospects, whether that's free agents. He has the ability to make moves. He has the ability to give himself various options to make the Sharks a better team. And I think that's the most important aspect going into this offseason. I don't have a crystal ball, but he has as many options as he could hope for. And that's going to give him the ability to make the Sharks a better team. No, he's not going to spend just for the sake of spending. He's not going to sign guys to term just because he can. But he is going to try and bring in talent that will make the Sharks a better team. All right, we are out of time. I will see you on Thursday before we see Macklin Celebrini, Connor Bedard showdown at the Tank. All right, for the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.